Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopijana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari.
Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Ashtotra Shata Shishimad, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Bibiti Samstapakacharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. 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 All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I think there's a feedback in the mic. There's a feedback. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naranchaiva Narottama. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato jaya mudhiraye nashta praishu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. This morning, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 19, in the matter of The Lord Begs Charity from Bali Maharaj, Text 41.
Paragriktam apurnam va aksharam yattad om iti Yat kinchit om iti bruyat tena richetai vaipuman bhikshave sarvam om kurvan nalam kame na chatmane paragriktam apurnam va அக்ஷரம் யத்தத் ஓம் இதி யத் கிஞ்சித் ஓம் இதி ப்ரூயாத் தேன ரிச்சேத வைபுமான் பிக்ஷவே சர்வம் ஓம் கூர்வம் கூர்வன் நாலம் காமேன சாத்மனே பராக்ருக்தம் அபூர்ணம் வா அக்ஷரம் யத்தத் ஓம் இதி யத் கிஞ்சித் ஓம் இதி ப்ரூயாத் தேன ரிச்சேத வைபுமான் பிக்ஷவே சர்வம் ஓம் கூர்வன் நாலம் காமேன சாத்மனே அபூர்ணம் வா யத்கிஞ்சித் ஓமிதி ப்ரூயாத் தேன ரிச்சேத வைபுமான் பிக்ஷவே சர்வம் ஓம் கூர்வன் நாலம் காமேன சாத்மனே பராக்ருக்தம் அபூர்ணம் வா அக்ஷரம் யத்தத் ஓமிதி யத்கிஞ்சிதோமிதி ப்ரூயா தேன ரிச்சேத வைபுமான் பிக்ஷவே சர்வன் ஓம் கூர்வன் நாலம் காமேன சாத்மனே பராக்ருக்தம் அபூர்ணம் வா யக்ஷரம் யத்தத் ஓமிதி யத்கிஞ்சித் ஓமிதி ப்ரூயாத் தேன ரிச்சேத வைபுமான் பிக்ஷவே சர்வம் ஓம் கூர்வன் நாலம் காமேன சாத்மனே. வைஷ்ணவீஸ், பூர்ணம் வா அக்ஷரம் யத்தத் ஓமிதி யத்கிஞ்சித் ஓமிதி ப்ரூயாத் தேன ரிச்சேத வைபுமான் பிக்ஷவே சர்வம் ஓம் கூர்வம் நாலம் காமேன சாத்மனே பராக்ருக்தம் அபூர்ணம் வா அக்ஷரம் யத்தத் ஓமிதி யத்கிஞ்சிதோமிதி ப்ரூயா தேன ரிச்சேத வைபுமான் பிக்ஷவே சர்வம் ஓம் கூர்வன் நாலம் காமேன சாத்மனே. பராக், கேன் யூ ஹியர் மீ இன் தி பேக்? ஓகே. பராக், தட் விச் செப்பரேட்ஸ். ரிக்தம், that which makes one free from attachment. Apurnam, that which is insufficient. Va, either. Aksharam, this syllable. Yat, that. Tat, which. Om, Omkara. Iti, thus. Stated. Yat, which. Kinchit, whatever. Om, this word. Om. Iti, thus. Bruyat, if you say. Tena, by such an utterance. Richyeta, one becomes free. Why? Indeed. Puman, a person. Bhikshave, unto a beggar. Sarvam, everything. Om Kurvan, giving charity by uttering the word Om. Na, not. Alam, sufficiently. Kamena, for sense gratification. Cha, also. Atmane, for self-realization. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Translation: the utterance of the word Om signifies separation from one's monetary assets. In other words, by uttering this word, one becomes free from attachment to money, because money is taken away from him. To be without money is not very satisfactory, for in that position, one cannot fulfill one's desires. In other words, by using the word Om, one becomes poverty stricken. Especially when one gives charity to a poor man or beggar, one remains unfulfilled in self-realization and in sense gratification. Purport: Maharaja Bali wanted to give everything to Vamana Dev, who had appeared as a beggar. But Shukracharya, being Maharaj Bali's familial spiritual master in the line of seminal succession, could not appreciate Maharaj Bali's promise. Shukracharya gave Vedic evidence that one should not give everything to a poor man. Rather, when a poor man comes for charity, one should untruthfully say, "Whatever I have given you, I have no more." It is not that one should give everything to him. Actually, the word Om is meant for Om Tat Sat, the absolute truth. Omkara is meant for freedom from all attachment to money, because money should be spent for the purpose of the Supreme. The tendency of modern civilization is to give money in charity to the poor. Such charity has no spiritual value, because we actually see that although there are so many hospitals and other foundations and institutions for the poor, according to the three modes of material nature, a class of poor men is always destined to continue. Even though there are so many charitable institutions, poverty has not been driven from human society. Therefore, it is recommended here, Bhikshave sarvam om kurvan nalam kamena chatmane. One should not give everything to the beggars among the poor. The best solution is that of the Krishna consciousness movement. This movement is always kind to the poor, not only because it feeds them, but also it gives them enlightenment by teaching them how to become Krishna conscious. We are therefore opening hundreds and thousands of centers for those who are poor, both in money and in knowledge, to enlighten them in Krishna consciousness and reform their character by teaching them how to avoid illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating and gambling, which are the most sinful activities and which cause people to suffer life after life. The best way to use money is to open such a center where all may come, live and reform their character. They may live very comfortably without denial of any of the body's necessities, but they live under spiritual control, and thus they live happily and save time for advancement in Krishna consciousness. If one has money, it should not be squandered away on nothing. It should be used to push forward the Krishna consciousness movement, so that all of human society will become happy, prosperous and hopeful of being promoted back home, back to Godhead. The Vedic mantra in this regard reads as follows: Paragva etad riktam aksharam yat etad omiti tad yat kinchid omiti ahatra ఆహత్రైవాంస్మై తదృచ్యతే సయత్సర్వం ఓంకూర్యాచ్యాత్ ఆత్మనం సా కామేభ్యో నలం నాలం స్యాత్. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport to text 41 of chapter 19 in the matter of the Lord begs charity from Bali Maharaj, canto 8 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gnanjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Sva Padantikam వందేహం శ్రీగురో శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణా రఘునాథాన్వితం తాంసు జీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనాసైతం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాన్ సహగణలలిత శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. నమా ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే జాయపతాక స్వామినితి నామినే నమా ఆచార్యపదాయ నితైకృపప్రదాయినే గౌరకథా దామదాయ నగరగ్రామ తారిణే మా ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే గోపీపరానదన దాసే ఇతి నామినే నమా ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాదీ పశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త వృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. ముఖం కరోతి వాచాళం పంగుం లంగాయతే గిరిం యత్కృపాతమహం వందే శ్రీగురుదినతారినం యత్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం శ్రీచైతన్య ఈశ్వరం. కథాంచన స్మృతే యస్మిన్ దుష్కరం సుకరం భవేత్ విస్మృతే విపరీతం స్యాత్ శ్రీచైతన్యం నమామితం. సో హియర్ ప్రభుపాద్ ఈజ్ స్పీకింగ్ అబౌట్ హౌ శుక్రాచార్య వైల్ స్పీకింగ్ టు మహారాజ్ బలి gave Vedic evidence that one should not give everything to a poor man. In his correspondence with Professor J.F. Stahl, you can find that in The Science of Self-Realization, there he writes, it's a whole elaborate exchange, and there Prabhupada explains all of the Vedic literatures are glorifying Krishna. Directly or indirectly, they are glorifying Krishna. So, whenever we look at Vedic evidence, we, the members of the Krishna consciousness movement, should look at it from the point of view of Krishna consciousness. That should be our only, the only manner in which we look at anything, any topic, whether it's material or spiritual. Because the entire Vedic literature is meant to glorify Krishna. So all the material subject matters which are there in the Vedic literatures are also meant for the glorification of Krishna. So with that as the background, let me try to explain today's purport. The first time in my life that I went to an ISKCON temple, I met a devotee at the book counter who asked me, what's your name and what do you do? So I told him my name and I told him I'm a grade 11 student. So he said, oh, you're a student. What do you want to become? So I said, I want to become highly educated. And then he said, and then what? So I gave the normal usual answer. Well, it may not be a normal usual answer. I said, I want to become highly educated so that I can do good to the people in this world. And instantly, without a second's delay, he replied that doing good is useless. And I was totally stunned. It completely blew my mind, because this is so counterintuitive that if you tell somebody doing good is useless, and they would naturally be very shocked to hear something like this. So what he said really stunned me. The natural question that I asked him was, what do you mean? Then he said, good and bad are relative. We practice Krishna consciousness according to the scriptures. And Krishna consciousness is purely good. That was very interesting. So good and bad is relative. And he said, we practice Krishna consciousness from the Vedic literatures. And this is purely good. So the first time in my life, I heard something, there's something called purely good. And as a concept, it sounded very attractive. So then the next logical question that I asked him was, because I had a very logical bent of mind, so the next logical question that I asked him was, so there's something called purely good. What is purely bad? So then he quoted Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he said that everything in this material world is purely bad. Relatively, it may be good, they may call it good, they may call it bad, but everything is purely bad. So that is another thing which blew my mind. Everything in this world is purely bad. Nobody had ever said that before. So then I began to think, everything in Krishna consciousness is purely good. Everything in the material world is purely bad. No, as a concept, it looked interesting, but it was too little. I needed to know more. So then I asked him to explain, what do you mean by this? So then he explained to me that how, I mean, the standard Krishna conscious philosophy, that when you perform Krishna consciousness, then you don't have to take birth again and again. So if you do good, you have to take birth again. But even that didn't make much sense to me. So what if I had to take birth? I didn't understand, because when you're young, when you're 17, you don't understand what is wrong in taking birth in the material world. You're young, your senses are strong. So what does it mean that even if you do good, you take birth in the material world? I was thinking, that's, after all, it's pretty. It's not a bad deal. So like that. So, but nevertheless, so I kind of heard it, but didn't register much. But as a concept, it was very attractive. And I remember that after I speaking to him, I went to the deities, and it was my first visit to an ISKCON temple. So I was standing in front of Krishna Balaram deities, and as I stood in front of Krishna Balaram deities, the words that he spoke reverberated in my mind. Doing good is useless. Everything in Krishna consciousness is purely good. Everything in this material world is purely bad. This continuously kept reverberating in my mind. And now, 28 years later, as I speak, even today, those words that he spoke, those exact words keep reverberating in my mind. Doing good is useless. Everything in Krishna consciousness is purely good. Everything in the material world is purely bad. So then, I began to study Srila Prabhupada's books seriously. And one thing that really struck me was, no other sadhu had described philosophy in the manner which Prabhupada described philosophy. Because the general notion is, when you're spiritual, you do good things, right? You do charity of food, you open hospitals. This is a general notion. Nobody in this world, you can find hundreds and thousands of books on these topics, but nobody except Prabhupada says that all this is extended sense gratification. Nobody except Prabhupada says this. So when I started reading Prabhupada's books seriously, every now and then, something very radical would I would come across something very radical like this, but yet very logical And Prabhupada would explain it in very strong terms. So, Prabhupada, the same thing, everything in the spiritual world, everything in Krishna consciousness is purely good, everything in the material world is purely bad. And so Prabhupada explains that there are only two kinds of people. There are not multiple types of people, that we should know very clearly. There are only two kinds of people, the Mahatmas and the Duratmas. I mean, this is quite again interesting to me, because I had always thought there were shades of people, a lot of various kinds of people. But Prabhupada explains that there are only two types of people, the Mahatmas and the Duratmas. And even more interesting was that Prabhupada explains that this is not some sectarian knowledge. Prabhupada, who was interested in speaking something different, like they say a Muni is not a Muni, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, unless he speaks something different from the other Munis. So this is not a strategy which Prabhupada employed to be different from the other scholars and the philosophers and others. Rather, Prabhupada takes great pains to explain that this is Krishna himself speaking. So let me just say a few things about this, because Prabhupada very clearly explains this. Regarding spoiling life, so Prabhupada speaks about it. This is from a Bhagavad Gita class in Mumbai on the 16th of April 1974. He quotes the Bahunam Janmanam Ante verse from 7th chapter, text 19, and uses the phrase, after many, many births, spoiling life, spoiling time, by satisfying the senses, Bahunam Janmanam Ante, so long you will go on satisfying these senses, either your senses, that is centralized senses, or extended senses. The senses of family, senses of your society, senses of your country, nationality. These are all sense gratification process, simply extending. It begins centralized, my senses, then my son's senses, then my grandson's senses, then my country's senses. Then it is sense gratification. That's all. There is no other business. So it is sense gratification. Okay, fine. So we may think, okay, if you're doing something to others, what's wrong in it? Because the intuitive notion of selflessness is that we do something to help others. That's called selfless. But Prabhupada destroys this notion of selflessness. Prabhupada calls it sense gratification. It is all centered around you. So the intuitive notion that you extend yourself beyond yourself, the very fact that you're extending beyond yourself means selflessness, Prabhupada does not accept it. Prabhupada says, this is extended sense gratification, that's all. The same thing, either centralized or extended. So Prabhupada does not give it any modicum of gloriousness. He doesn't consider it glorious. And notice the expression that Prabhupada uses. This is from the Nectar of Instruction, from the purport to text 2. The word Mahatma refers to those who are broad-minded, not cripple-minded, he says. Cripple-minded persons, always engaged in satisfying their senses, sometimes expand their activities in order to do good for others through some ism like nationalism, humanism, humanitarianism, or altruism. They may reject sense gratification for the sense gratification of others, like the members of their family, community, or society, either national or international. Actually, this is all extended sense gratification, from personal to communal to social. This may all be very good from the material point of view, but such activities have no spiritual value. The basis of such activity is sense gratification, either personal or extended. Only when a person gratifies the senses of the Supreme Lord can he be called a Mahatma or broad-minded persons. So this is the point, that only when one satisfies the senses of the Supreme Lord can he be called a Mahatma. And notice how Prabhupada contrasts the Mahatma and the Duratmas. Very nicely contrasts. 9.13 Krishna speaks about Mahatmas. What does he speak in the 9.13? Devim Prakritim Ashritaha. What does he speak in 7.15? Asuram Bhavam Ashritaha. So Prabhupada contrasts this in a lecture. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, it's on the Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's appearance day, Vrindavan, October 19, 1972. There are two classes of men, Asuri Bhavam Ashritaha and Devi Prakritim Ashritaha. In Bhagavad Gita, you'll find these two words, Mahatmanastu Mam Partha Devim Prakritim Ashritaha, 9.13. Those who are Mahatmas, broad-minded. Mahatma means broad-minded. And Duratma means cripple-minded, just the opposite word, Duratma. So then he explains what Duratma means. Dura means far away from Krishna consciousness. Sorry, Dura means far away from Krishna consciousness. Dura Atma and Mahatma. Mahan Mahato Mahiyan, Krishna. So whose Atma is attached to the Supreme, the Great, he is called Mahatma. So Duratma means one who is under the influence of this material nature, far, far away from Krishna. So this is Prabhupada's point, that when you satisfy Krishna favorably, that is called a Mahatma. But no matter what good you do, which may be materially considered good, but which has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness, then you are simply far, far away from Krishna. And you are called a Duratma. And we may think that people, oh, they're selfless. Prabhupada brings us more in touch with reality. He speaks that they're not just selfless, they're also puffed up. And very nicely explains this in a lecture on Bhagavad Gita 2.2, London. August 3, 1973. They're very much puffed up. We are doing this opening hospital and school and philanthropism, nationalism. Then Prabhupada asks the question, is there any such thing in the Bhagavad Gita? Is there any advice that you can open hospital, school and do this philanthropic work? No. If you have not got anything to give in charity, you are charitably disposed, Krishna says, give it to me. If you are so rich and if you have got this good intentions to give in charity, give it to me. Yat karoshi yat juhosi yat ashnasi yat tapasyasi dadasi yat. 9.27. Dadasi yat means whatever you give in charity. Krushva tad mad arpanam. Give it to me. Yes, I am expanding my hand. Come on. Prabhupada says, okay. But they have forgotten Krishna or Krishna's advice. And they remain puffed up. They are engaged in activity. That activity, this activity. Then notice what Prabhupada says. Thousands of millions of such activities. Thousands of millions of such activities may be very good in the estimation of who? Of the fools and rascals. But it may not be accepted by Krishna. Then he says, that is the crucial point. But our point is, that unless accepted by Krishna, it is simply Shrama Evahi Kevalam. 1 Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.8. Simply waste of time. Our philosophy says we have to satisfy Krishna. We haven't got to satisfy ourselves that I am doing very nice work in this way. So all these people, they are manufacturing concocted ideas. So it may appear very appealing, but Prabhupada says there is nowhere mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, it is concocted. Intuitively, it may appear very nice. But because there is no shastra, there is no basis in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says, these are all, they are manufacturing concocted ideas. But still, selfless, right? We may think, selfless, but what is exactly this thing? And then, but it's very interestingly, Prabhupada defines what is material enjoyment. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Madhyalila, chapter 12, text 135, look at how he defines material enjoyment. Material enjoyment includes activities such as great sacrifices for auspicious activity, the karmakanda rituals. People do rituals, right? But this is also part of material enjoyment. Charity, austerity, elevation to the higher planetary system, and even living happily within the material world. So these are the categories which are called material enjoyment. Activities such as great sacrifices for auspicious activity, charity, austerity, elevation to the higher planetary system, and even living happily within the material world. So this is Prabhupada's Prabhupada's purport to Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila chapter 12, text 135. So Prabhupada takes great pains throughout his books. These are just a sample. There are so many like this. So you can find throughout his books, throughout his lectures, he takes great pain to explain to us what Krishna consciousness is. That's exactly what he does in this purport also. First he defines what Krishna consciousness is not. Tendency of modern civilization is to give money in charity to the poor. He explains all these things. And then he says the best solution is of that of the Krishna consciousness movement. Then, but before he tells us the solution, he gives us the concept in Krishna consciousness. Because in Krishna consciousness, unlike our intuitive understanding of so-and-so person is poor, so-and-so person is rich. But Prabhupada presents us with the understanding that everybody is poor. It is not that some people are poor, some people are rich. Everybody is poor in spiritual understanding. So unless we understand that very clearly, we will not be able to perform genuine welfare activity. So Prabhupada makes it a point that we are opening hundreds and thousands of centers for those who are poor, both in money and in knowledge, to enlighten them in Krishna consciousness and reform their character by teaching them how to avoid illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating and gambling. So Prabhupada brings up this concept, those who are poor in Prabhupada's definition of poor, it's not only those who do not have money, but those who do not have spiritual knowledge are poor. And Prabhupada again repeatedly explains this. So I'll just bring out one such place where he very nicely explains this in a very simple manner. This is Sannyas initiation lecture that Prabhupada gave in Calcutta, 26th of January 1973. This is about poor, right? About feeding the poor. So that's why I thought I'll bring some references which are relevant to feeding the poor. Prabhupada says, temple worship means you must distribute prasadam. You should to the poor. Then he explains what is poor. Everyone is poor. Not that the rich man is not poor. So there is no question of if one is financially poor, he should come to the temple. Everyone should come to the temple and ask for prasada. That is required. So paratmanishtam, the sannyasi should worship the deity in the temple and feed the poor. Once again he explains, poor does not mean one who has no legs, no ears and no poor. Everyone who is spiritually poor, he should be given prasadam. By eating prasada, prasade sarva dukkhanam hanir asyopajayate. Very clear. Prabhupada very clearly explained what is the concept of prasadam distribution. If we do not have the right concept, we'll also see what Prabhupada says would happen. Then again, in Honolulu, 15th of May, 1972. So far, prasadam distribution, it is not a question of rich or poor. That will be karmakanda. Our program, therefore, is that we offer prasadam to everyone. Notice this. So far, prasadam distribution, it is not a question of rich or poor. that will be karma kanda. The moment we start distributing prasadam, there are some programs, especially started by a deviant leader in ISKCON. He was the one pioneer of this program in India, which feeds hundreds and thousands of people across various schools. So far prasadam distribution is not a question of rich or poor. That will be karma kanda. So even if you distribute prasadam, if you do not have the right, if you do not do the right thing, if you just try to go out and distribute prasadam to the poor, that's called karma kanda. But Prabhupada himself will explain that very clearly. That will be karma kanda. Our program therefore is that we offer prasadam to everyone. Make our temple so nice that everyone who comes is offered some prasadam. Not that we are after poor men. It is nice we are feeding 200 daily, but gradually try to increase. But do not advertise. We shall be self-advertising. And then he says, and do not go to poor areas. This is not our philosophy. Our philosophy is prasadam distribution without discrimination, rich or poor. Oh, the poor children, they do not have food, so let's go and distribute prasadam there. No, whether it's poor children or the rich children, all schools, not just prasadam distribution. That Prabhupada will explain later on. So, Prabhupada explains here very clearly that prasadam distribution is there, but here if you notice the context, since it's really a part of the quote, Prabhupada is talking about people coming to our temples. He says, make our temple so nice. Because when people come to our temples, it's not only prasadam that they get, right? They also get spiritual education, they hear Krishna Katha, they hear Kirtan. So there is some spiritual benefit they get by hearing. So it's a combination. The combination of hearing Krishna Katha, Kirtan and prasadam distribution. So prasadam distribution does not stand out on its own. And Prabhupada more specifically states this in a letter to Guru Das to, again, Honolulu, 13th of May, 1972. If we open a branch in Madras, actually there are so many poor children there. Spiritual education and food, that is proper. Simply, of course, before this, in this letter, Prabhupada speaks about having our temples as centers for food distribution. But there he says, spiritual education and food, that is proper. Simply supplying food is nonsense. Spiritual education means just to inject in their ears about our philosophy. Externally they chant beads, wear tilak, without any discrimination of Hindu or Muslim or anything. So this is Prabhupada's idea. Prasadam distribution is always accompanied with some spiritual education or kirtans. There are so many places where he explains that. He doesn't place prasadam distribution in some isolation, neither isolation to other activities, neither does he place prasadam distribution, as an activity targeted for the poor. So in this purport also you can clearly see, Prabhupada is consistent. He says, we should give spiritual knowledge and we should distribute Prabhupada. Sorry, and distribute prasadam. So this is Prabhupada's strategy. And we, the members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, have to take our understanding of what is the right conception from Prabhupada and how to do. The formula also should come from Prabhupada. This is Prabhupada's formula, repeatedly explains. Otherwise it's karma kanda, he says. Simply nonsense, he says. So we have to be very careful about it. So the Acharya, the founder Acharya, the highest authority for all members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, has set the course for the movement. He said, this is how you do it. So we should follow exactly as Prabhupada said. Then the question may come up, like there was this thing in Australia where when the devotees were building ratha carts, sometimes new people especially ask this question, that you are doing some important spiritual activity and somebody is dying, would you save them or not? Okay. So then I usually reply by saying, where are they dying? If they're dying near me, obviously I would save them. I would stop my spiritual activity and save them. Because Prabhupada, but if they're dying 25 kilometers away, what can I do about it? Or 100 kilometers, whatever. What am I supposed to do about that? But if somebody is dying right next to me, that's different. Like Prabhupada makes this point, there's an interesting incident where, not interesting, it's an unfortunate incident, which turned interesting. What happened was, there's a building on fire where the devotees are building the Ratha cart from in Australia. I don't remember which city it was. And when the building was on fire, from the upper floors, people were trying to jump. And the devotees quickly, what they did was, they used the cloth, the canopy, the cloth which is used for protecting, for the Ratha cart, they held it like for like how they do bungee jumping. What do you call it? Yeah. You held it, they held it as a something on which the people from the upper floors of the building can jump onto it. And like this, they saved the lives of so many people. And the next day, the newspaper reported it. The Hare Krishna saved the life of so many people. Prabhupada, in fact, some devotees were confused. Was it the right thing to do? Because using the deity cloth for people falling, jumping off and with their feet and all that. But Prabhupada is very happy. And he said, they've done the right thing. Because that is what we're supposed to do. We are not crazy people. We are normal people. So if somebody is dying and we are doing some spiritual activity, already obviously we're supposed to save the person if we can. On the other hand, we can notice that when Jayapataka Maharaj once wrote to Prabhupada, when there's a flood in Bengal, for a flood in Bangladesh, they were planning to go from Mayapur and do food relief activities there. And Prabhupada said, this is not our mission, food relief. So he didn't want devotees to go to Bangladesh and do it. But nevertheless, in Mayapur, suppose you have a flood, obviously you're supposed to distribute food to those who stand it. This is in your place. So Prabhupada is very clear about what we should do and what we should not do. Whatever is within our purview, that we have to obviously help. Obviously it helps. That's why Prabhupada said within 12 mile radius. Within 12 mile radius, nobody should go hungry. He didn't say 200 kilometer radius. Then we will have to go 200 kilometers and feed everybody. Within 12 mile radius, everybody can come to our temple and we can feed them unlimitedly. So Prabhupada is very, very clear, specific, definitive about how we should perform welfare activities in Krishna consciousness. So we, the followers of Prabhupada, the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we should not come up with our own ideas based on mundane concepts. We should stick with the formula that Prabhupada has given. Then we are sure to be successful in establishing this Krishna consciousness, and then the Krishna consciousness movement will simply flourish. So I think I'll stop there if there are any comments or questions. Yes, Mataji. She raised her hand first.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Mataji. I can hear you. Oh, well.
Hare Krishna. Sometimes we...
I can hear you. Sometimes we see people who are without money, without legs, and we feel bad. Yes. Yes, Maji, go on. No, it's not that we should not do nothing. That's why I said, if it is within our... Sometimes people are without money, without legs, fine. But we should do it in the manner which Prabhupada... It's not that we should not do. That's not what Prabhupada is saying. Rather, he's saying how we should do. So it's not that we should not do. Devotees are considered the most compassionate. Obviously, we have to be compassionate. So it is a question of how we do it. So Prabhupada says that for those who are poor, Prabhupada says you are poor, right? So you come to our center. We are rich. You come to our center. Give up all this nonsense what you're doing. Smoking bidi with some money that you're getting by begging. Do stop all these things. You come, we'll take care of you. Practice Krishna consciousness. Nicely, we'll take care of you. Become a devotee. What more you need? We'll take care of you. So Prabhupada has a formula. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Hare Krishna, Puja. Bro, you told about Mahatmas and Duratmas.
Mahatmas and Duratmas, so, yes.
So there are two, like, contrast. Mahatmas are one on the one pole and Duratmas are on another pole. Is it so? Or there are some selfish Mahatmas or some type of shadings are there? Can you please elaborate on this?
Well, the moment there is a shading, then you cannot call him... you can call him impure Mahatma. I mean, if at all there's such... Prabhupada doesn't use that term, but he does speak about mixed devotional service. So you could say yes, But in terms of broad category, yes, there are only two types of people. So it's only a question of how much of a Mahatma you are and how much of a Duratma you are. So there are only two categories. So you may be 70% Mahatma, 30% Duratma. So to give up that 30%, become 100% Mahatma. Yes. Yes, bro. Hospitals, schools come under the category of Karmakanda, yes. Krishna conscious hospitals we have Krishna conscious schools. Would it be considered, okay, we have hospitals and school, could these be considered as some kind of Nishkama Karma Yoga that eventually had to give up that activity? What do you say? There's an attachment to the activity. The result is offered to Krishna. Okay. Let me just, I mean, this I'd expected this question would come up. And I'm surprised that was not the first question. So, okay. There are activities which ISKCON is meant to do. And there are activities which ISKCON is not meant to do. Now, ISKCON is not meant to open a hospital. That's very clear. So, that, I mean, there are about 12 or 13 places where Prabhupada says, once one Dr. Ghosh told him, he was already a doctor, he said, I will do it in your, Prabhupada said, no. I mean, like, he said, you can do it for our devotees. I mean, so like that, there are many, many, almost 12 or 13 places where Prabhupada is so strong. So this is not our business. This is not our business. So, as far as ISKCON is concerned, we don't do it. Now, devotees do different things for a living. So, if a group of doctors gather together and open a hospital, that's fine. They're doing it for a living. And in the process of doing it for a living, you're supposed to preach also, right? I mean, that's what a grihastha is supposed to do. He's supposed to do some activity to maintain his body. At the same time, he's supposed to engage in Krishna consciousness. So the problem is not having hospitals, but who is doing the hospital is important. Is ISKCON funds involved? Is ISKCON involved in any way? No, it should not be. But ISKCON devotees can be involved. Why not? Not the full-time practicing devotees. No way. The congregational members who are anyway have to do some work to maintain their families and their bodies, they can do it. Why not? It's a very glorious activity. They can do it for their, in the process, they can also preach to so many people. But to call it an ISKCON activity, that is completely wrong. Then people may get the idea that ISKCON does these kind of things also. ISKCON does not do these kind of things. And even the devotees who are doing it primarily, they should understand this is to maintain our body. This is not the end thing. Okay, in the process of maintaining our body, this is very useful. Okay, let us just... preach as much as we can. So it's the best use of a bad bargain. Anyway, we are not in a position to surrender ourselves fully, live a very Brahminical life. We have certain needs as doctors or whatever. Okay, let's do it. Fine. And similarly, there is no problem with food distribution program also, even if it is poor, whatever. Provided ISKCON doesn't do that kind of activity. Like somebody can set up a foundation, let's say a congregational devotee. Can set up a foundation, okay, it's popular in this world, okay, let's distribute, it's going to earn me to live and think about Krishna, and it's also going to help so many other devotees do it, congregational members. So they can do it as a business activity or which can be combined with our charity, whatever, charitable or business, whatever you call it, which can also be combined with Krishna consciousness to whatever extent they can. That's fine. But it's not, ISKCON is not meant to do that. The funds that we generate from the public is not meant to be engaged in these kind of activities. It is supposed to be engaged directly in the formula that which Prabhupada gave us. It's not wrong to open a hospital or school. It is wrong only for ISKCON and ISKCON full-time members to do it or to use ISKCON funds for doing that. But it's not wrong for a congregational member to do it. Because anyway, he's supposed to earn. If this is the easiest way to earn, fine, why not? At the same time, he can do some charitable activities. So that should be the understanding. Yeah. Next. Yes, Master. What does it mean to please the senses of Krishna? Okay, I think I'll take this as the last question. After that, because it's already 9 o'clock. After that, if somebody has, they can stay back. But this would be the last question officially. So, Prabhupada, first of all, bhakti is so precisely defined. If you think that pleasing Krishna is bhakti, that is also not the definition of bhakti. Because if you go to, if you read the Krishna book, you can see how these wrestlers, they were landing blows on Krishna, right? When doing the wrestling match in Mathura. Krishna used to get great pleasure from those. They're also providing pleasure to Krishna. Are they bhaktas? Is it bhakti? No. Now, acharyas are very clearly defined. Bhakti means that which is favorably performed. Not just the pleasure of Krishna. So that's the first of all the basic understanding that we should have. That we are not interested in some or the other pleasing Krishna. If you are interested in some or the other pleasing Krishna, then even Mushtika and Chanura, they also please Krishna. We are not interested in some or the other pleasing Krishna. We are interested in favorably pleasing Krishna. Favorably pleasing Krishna means, Prabhupada explains, just like Prabhupada said, Krishna is the father of all that be. He is the proprietor of all that be. He needs nothing. Yet, if we offer something to him, patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam, he is very pleased and he gladly accepts it. And he gave the example, just like a father, he said. Sometimes the child may come and offer some sweet to the father. Father has got enough money to buy sweet. It's not that the father is dependent on the child to get that sweet. But the moment the child gives it, there's some pleasure in that. Oh, he has done, there's a certain sense of love. And I know that because previously when I used to give class, I didn't know that exactly. But now I'm a father of two children. So I know what it means when my son comes and offers something. I may not need it, but because he's offering it, it's such a great feeling. So like that, properly explained, that's Krishna. He's the universal father. Aham sarva bija prada. So Krishna is a seed-giving father. So he is the ultimate seed-giving of everybody. Therefore, when we do something favorably to him, he's very pleased with an activity. Like that. Although he doesn't need it. Is that okay? I have some prasadam from Vrindavan. I was there last week. So I have some. I think it may be sufficient for everybody. If there are any questions, I can answer after that. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande.